This is Engineer Eric from the Jimmy Doan Show. You're about to listen to part two of our December 4th podcast. And I know you'd much rather have porn star Laura make these announcements, but she's not here, so you get me. Enjoy the show. You got to
change your evil ways. We're back. Okay, anything in I had a good time on the first segment of this thing. Anything and I've got more stuff here, but let me let the counselor here. What do you got?
I just got a couple things here. Okay. I noticed that Michael Vick.
Oh yeah, the Vickster.
Michael Vick, there's been a trial set for him.
Okay.
And you might think, why? He's already pled.
Yeah.
He's about to be sentenced.
Right.
That's in federal court. And it turns out that federal court and state court are still sufficiently separated such that he can still be charged in state court, and it's not double jeopardy.
That's right. I remember.
That because...
Okay. But you're
black. It's because he's black.
You never know. No. This is everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody has this liability. You think you can't be charged for something twice, but the truth is you can.
Okay.
You can have to be charged by the different jurisdictions. So it's unfortunate. And really, I would hope that this would be the kind of case that would bring this kind of thing to light. Michael Vick's attorneys would challenge this type of thing. Claim, look, it is in effect double jeopardy.
Right.
And this sort of gap has been bridged before in places like evidence law. That is to say, it used to be that in the state courts, there were wider evidence laws. That is to say, things were more restricted in federal courts. So evidence they couldn't use in federal court, let's say everything was excluded in federal court and the guy was going to get off scot-free.
Right.
They would just take all the stuff and run over to state court, file the exact same charges and use the evidence because it wasn't excluded in state court.
Uh-huh.
So they've bridged that gap in the last century, and so that a lot of those things are more even, and it's not so easy for them to do that. And this is an area that they could take advantage of and really make this double jeopardy thing a reality again, the way so that used to
is
be.
The charge exactly the same?
Exactly the same.
And of course, I was watching.
It's a slam dunk, of course, because he's already confessed in federal court, and they get to use that against him. So.
And they get to use that against him.
Right.
Okay. Figures.
Jeez Louise.
Well, and why? So they want to put him in a state prison for a while?
Look, this goes back to, everybody wants a piece of the champ. You know, if somebody's going down, there's prosecutors out there everywhere who want to be the guy who brought him to justice.
Right.
And they want to be the ones who inflicted the damage. You know, right. It's not bad enough. All the damage has been inflicted on the guy.
Right.
I mean, he kills a few dogs and they're going to put him in federal prison. But even if they didn't do that, he has lost an estimated $50 million in endorsements and bonus money and play money and everything. The market has punished him $50 million for this.
Right.
If they had done nothing to him,
right,
he would have lost all those endorsement contracts and all that money and everything. You don't think that's a deterrence for people to fly straight?
It reminds me of the same thing when somebody, for instance, they have a DUI, for instance, and the wife gets killed and the husband survives. And ain't going to happen. The guy suffered. And they're going to stick him away for 20 years.
License.
Yeah, big deal. You know, so I mean, you think, why are you piling on? Well, it's because the prosecutor wants a badge or a mark on the side.
I got Michael Vick. Man.
Yeah.
I'm the one who, and they can run on that, you know, campaign.
Oh, and let me tell you, what is interesting when you see how it works in the food chain, it is not at all uncommon that you go from prosecutor to attorney general to governor and to then governor of Arkansas, Huckabee, thank you so much, going up the food chain, running for president. I mean, let's face it, Jimmy Carter was governor and Bill Clinton wasn't he originally?
Yep, governor of Arkansas.
Governor, but before that, did he run straight for governor or was he something?
He was a professor of law.
Okay. So anyway, yeah. Okay. And he knew about how not to lie in front of the grand jury, right? Okay,
that's
fine.
Right.
Alrighty. So to the point being on this, quick aside, I was watching a comedy channel the other day. One of my favorite comedians, even though he's a bit of a liberal, is Louis Black. He's like, always angry. Well, he was complaining about OJ. He said OJ and Michael Vick have got to be the stupidest people on the planet because once you've got it, you know, why would you go and do something stupid? And they ought to just have a jail for stupid people. You don't need to send them a trial. We're going to send you to this place for stupid people. And I, of course, I think there's a dramatic difference between O.J. and Michael Vick.
Well, O.J. pleaded not guilty.
Right. No, he did. And he's going to, and he's, again, I guess, going to resurrect Johnny Cochran or something. I mean, bring him back from the grave to defend him because.
So how well have you perfected cloning?
I mean, and well, you know, they have. I thought, speaking of cloning, I thought that maybe they're going to try and clone Johnny Cochran. I don't think they have enough time for it because they can still get his DNA and everything. They do have that dinosaur they found, and I thought the first thing they were going to do was we'll talk about that. Just let me go back. The point is that I don't believe, and we've talked about this before, Michael Vick is in the same category as Martha Stewart. What a ridiculous thing this whole thing
right.
is. I mean, look, it's dogs. I'm sorry. I don't like the guy. I wouldn't go see his games anymore, yada, yada, because of all this stuff. I think it's horrendous, but God, dogs just don't have rights. I'm sorry. They just don't. And,
50 million's enough.
50 million, certainly enough. I mean, yeah, but of course, even one wonders then, it begs a smaller question. That is, what would have happened if it had been some small time guy, somebody, some nobody, some, you know, some wino guy that they'd gotten for dogfighting? Would they have done the same thing, you wonder?
I mean, well, they would have charged him in state court. I don't think they would have charged him in federal court.
Certainly wouldn't have gone in federal court. Probably no way, Jose. That. I mean, you know, it would have been some local sheriff thing.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Give me a break. Okay. So anyway, yeah. But speaking of, let me digress just for a second. We're done with that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'll get back to your stuff. But I did want to mention, you did see where they found the actual skin or whatever and hair from a dinosaur, or scales or whatever from a dinosaur.
No.
They found some soft tissue, actually.
Well, no. They found, what they found was, I thought that too. I thought first thing in my life was, okay, here we go.
Right.
Lost Jurassic Park. Jurassic Park. Okay. Turns out what they found was, it was fossilized soft tissue.
Mm-hmm.
So it was stone. It was rock. No, okay. They can basically, they're putting it into some big EMI machine or CPR, whatever the hell it is, that did the resonance machine or whatever, to look at it. And what they're finding is, stuff they've never found before. And this is the first time they've ever found fossilized soft tissue. And it's given them a whole new, they still can't get any of the colors, but it's given them a whole new take on how strong these things were. And the first thing they found out was that this hadasaur, it's a duck-billed variant, one of the herbivores, and they figured out that the muscles were a lot bigger than what they originally have thought for the last 10,000 years, and that this thing probably could run about five times faster than T-Rex, or so, get away from it. And it would make sense, of course. That was its defense, was to run away.
Run away!
And so anyway, but my first thing was, when I first read the headline, was, okay, let's, turns well, out, sorry, no, well, no DNA,
they found
no
that, they found the woolly mammoth stuff.
That's, but see, remember now, that's only tens of thousands of years.
Right.
This is 67 million, I think.
Yeah, and it's fossilized. It's different from.
Yeah, no, I know
preserved.
That. I mean, yeah, it's not, they're not going to get any DNA out of a fossil.
No. But the headline led me to believe it was. That's where I went with this. And I'm now done with that.
Okay. Well, what I've always said is that as soon as they figure out how to take the genes like Legos and put them together and build anything they want, they'll build them however they think they used to look. And then they'll.
Once again, you will hope that it's only a camel designed right. by a committee. You will hope when it turns out to be, as we found in. Again, fiction, whatever.
Right.
But it turns to be.
But they'll get it right one day.
Yeah.
I mean,
unfortunately, after they loose on the planet.
Right.
The
five times bigger than a tyrannosaur.
And can't be killed.
With wings.
Yeah. and teeth bigger than
right.
it is.
And spitting cobra venom.
Pterodactyl Rex.
Yeah.
Right. Pterodactyl Rex. That's perfect.
That's right. And so, and it just keeps, and the only
amphibious.
Thing. And right, flying amphibious, can go 6 miles down and 6 miles up.
Right.
and has a lust for blood.
Yeah. Well, I think they'll get it right. And when they do, what'll be really cool is like stuff
or
like,
wrong. I mean, what happens if they get it right after they get it wrong?
Well, they will.
There won't be any time.
Well, they'll get it wrong a bunch of times. But those things will mostly die on the operating table there, I think. But the stuff they get.
Okay. This is okay. Microbiologist. and counselor here.
Chaotician is that's out of Jurassic Park. Come on, Kate, remember the chaos?
Yes.
Okay. So anyway, yeah. Well, I think what I want to see is I want to see like the parrot with the human brain.
They are pretty close already.
Yeah, really.
I mean, they did take when you think of that damn walnut sized thing, how smart those things. Some of those are.
And Alex just died recently.
Yeah. That's phenomenal when you think what.
Speaking of animals, the teddy bear incident.
She was pardoned.
Right.
I had on my list, I was going to wonder about the great peaceful Islam, the rioting mobs with the brandishing the burning pitchforks and, you know, death to the infidel and that kind of stuff. And fortunately, somebody showed up and she got pardoned.
So, right. Now, for everybody, you probably already know this, but just for everybody who's listening, there was a teacher, a British teacher in
Sudan,
and she was doing a class assignment where they had to name a teddy bear. Somebody brought in a teddy bear, and so she allowed the class to name the teddy bear. The most popular kid in the class was named Muhammad, so the kids chose to name the teddy bear Muhammad. Well, if you know anything about Islam, that's a big no-no. When the teacher's lounge people found out about it, they bagged her, and they threw her in jail, and there was a thought, at least in the beginning, at least it seemed like, there were calls for her execution, among other things. She was obviously at least facing 15 years in prison.
Lashes.
Right, and lashes.
40 lashes or something.
And, but apparently in Islamic law, the intent is still somewhat important. And the fact that she kowtowed to them, a British citizen threw herself on the mercy of the court and said basically, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
Then they gave her 15 days.
They gave her 15 days, and then she was pardoned, I think, by the
Grand Mufti or somebody.
Somebody
flew down from England or from UK or whatever to plead her case.
And, oh, is that right?
Yeah, there was something, I forget, something went on with that. It was a Muslim, I think, from England or something that came down and said, you know, really. And again, this was, so she didn't have to spend the whole 15 days. I mean, right. She was in jail, I think, for.
So what could have been big news is really, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, it still is big news. I mean, I'm convinced that a couple of things. One.
They should have killed the kid.
Well, there's a couple of things that occurred to me. One is she's not the most attractive person. If she'd been like Miss America or something, it would have been a lot more of an outrage. But they made a mistake in showing her picture.
Yeah.
And my nice lady, I'm sure, but you know, whew, I mean, there was, you know, nobody would have. But I also find that interesting that you're not allowed to name somebody. Oh, the guy that one of the guys that wrote the article was named Muhammad or something like it. It wasn't quite the same name. It was spelled a little differently. But I do find it interesting that the one meat you can't eat is the middle of this guy's name,
mm-hmm.
Mohammed. I mean, I'm wondering what is there some reason that you can't eat ham? Is it because it's in his name or something? Or
right. And then, of course, the last part of Mohammed is mad.
Right. So ham mad. Okay.
Ham mad.
So Mo-mad ham.
Mo-mad ham.
So when you have feral, insane pigs running around, that's pretty much sums up the religion, I guess. Okay.
All right. A couple of more real quick things. Deborah LaFave was rearrested. People might not remember her, but she was
the teacher that did sex.
That's right. She was the one that fooled around with the little boys, 14-year-old boys. And she was rearrested because she now works at a diner, and she was having contact with a 17-year-old who also works at a diner. Part of her probation is no unsupervised contacts with minors.
Okay, unsupervised by whom?
By an approved party.
Okay, I mean, the fact that she was in a diner with 1,000 people around doesn't count.
Apparently not.
Okay.
No, it doesn't count. And that's what my point is that watch out. Probation is sticky here in the state of Florida.
Yeah, no, well, not that. There was one recently where the sex offenders, it turns out, that the if you forget to tell somebody or you or move
well,
too
Mr.
close,
Pyle
you walk
from,
past the school or something. You
Since we were last here, what's
Gomer
his first?
Pyle? Not, oh, Artemis Pyle.
Artemis Pyle, correct. Mm-hmm.
Not free as a bird.
No.
He's a drummer for Lynyrd Skynyrd.
And he was convicted a long time ago of some sexual stuff, and he's a sexual
As you said, predator. He's a sexual offender.
Okay.
But, yeah, like as you said before, it's sexual something bad.
Right.
Nobody knows the difference between any
no,
of this
no,
stuff.
No, pervert, right. Offender, right. You know, in, whatever. But, you know.
He's in big trouble for not registering with the sheriff's office and the Department of Motor Vehicles, which
is his exact address.
Within 48 hours of moving mm-hmm. anywhere.
And yeah. So he can be arrested every 48 hours until he gets her done.
Right.
I mean, or whatever.
And they will.
Okay.
And they will charge him. And I have defended people who have gone to prison for that. So
unbelievable.
It's tough.
So piles in the pile of troubles.
He is, man. The only other one that I've got, really, is there was a tasering of a pregnant woman.
I saw that. As a matter of fact, I pulled that out here. I thought, now, if you read the whole article, it's pretty bad.
I've read it, and I'll tell you what my thoughts are.
It was a stun gun, actually, but the same thing. Yeah.
Okay, well, look, here's the deal.
It says she's asking police to take custody of her one-year-old son, but tried to leave with the child after the officer started asking her questions.
Right. And so what you got here is they were attempting to do an investigation. That is to say, that's what his defense is going to be.
Right.
I was investigating the unusual nature of her being there with this one-year-old.
Right.
And since she didn't respond to my investigation, I had to shoot her.
Right.
I mean, taser.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Right.
And so my thought, though, is that you don't have to do that. First of all, if you really, really think that there's a danger of the child, you take the child. You know, you've got the child right there. She's
right.
giving you the child.
Right.
You just take the child.
Right.
Okay. Or two, again, the thing to do is you just call Child Protective Services, you know, and if you need to follow the chick when she leaves in a squad car, go for it. I mean, but what's the danger here? And it's just another incident that you've got. Now the police have been given just greater authorization to tase people.
Yeah.
Anytime you're out of control at all or unruly.
Right. Unruly.
There's a chance of you getting tased.
And again, I have my own beef. We don't need to go into what Child Protective Services would do, because once they're called in, they've got to justify their existence as well, no matter what. Especially here in Florida, they'll do some things that might not make sense to a normal non-alien person. But the point is that she got stunned, and like you say,
this made the news. Right.
Shows you once you give these guys a toy. You know, what would have happened 10 years ago? I don't know. I mean,
the barn doors seem to be opening here on the taser use. So.
Yeah, it sure does. There was another one, but I put it up. But it's gotten to be so common now that I didn't even bother to print it out. Anything else you guys?
That's it for me.
Okay, well, how about you?
Engineer Eric has studiously compiled questions.
Which reminds me, speaking of the hangar dogs, I probably shouldn't go into this. I got a note from them just like right before we started this thing about they think that the fare tax is, not good. Mm-hmm. And I'm one of those that thinks it's okay. They were talking about Huckabee. Apparently Huckabee is, of all the candidates, has said that he thinks that the fare tax is a good thing, which is the fare tax is one of the things where you disband the IRS, you start all over from scratch, and everybody gets taxed the same no matter what. No exemptions, no nothing. You get a, depending on who you listen to, it's either 23 or 30%, depending on how you figure it. But it's been pretty well documented by Neil Bortz and some others that, I'm not real happy with any tax like this, because the problem with it is two problems. One, it's revenue neutral. I think the government has too much money anyway, number one. And number two, it has this prebate thing, which means that it takes care of, quote, the poor people. And, I think that the poor people ought to have some skin in the game, too. I don't see anybody getting off from paying taxes here in the United States just because you're only making 30 grand for a family of four, whatever the cutoff point is, you know, too bad. I figure you should have some skin in the game. No free ride. So anyway, that's that.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. Again, I was just reading it. He just said about something about, you know, Huckabee wants to take 30% of the home's value from me every year.
Yeah, and it's not quite true. Again, this is one of the things that, and I, you know, love the hangar dogs to death, but they need to do a little closer reading on this, and as do a lot of people. I've seen some of the arguments against it. In fact, Neil Bortz is coming out with a new book called I'm Answering All the Critics. He did a pretty good job, actually, in the first one, but people, again, selectively reading, and one of the things you have to realize is there are a lot of people that have, I guess, a vested interest in the current system. 7 million words that a stack of 35,000 pay, whatever it is. Nobody understands the current tax code. Nobody pays the right thing. You know, and you've got this, I mean, these people, the IRS agents are allowed to carry a gun. I mean, why mm-hmm. would you carry a gun if an IRS agent, unless you're going to shoot a taxpayer for not paying their taxes? I mean, this is right. You know, and you would get rid of that sort of thing. I mean, people, I don't know about you, but a lot of people I know, when you get a certified letter from the IRS, it generally is not good news. I mean, it's not like they're awarding you anything. And this year, in fact, this year...
You just do what Fred Sanford says. Put it back in the mailbox.
Well, you cleverly write deceased on the
deceased
back.
Deceased on the
and
back.
And put it back in the mailbox. Yeah, no, they know better than that. Along those same lines, and I don't think I'm digressing too much here, there was an article about millions of tax refunds could be delayed. And one of the reasons is because the tax code is so convoluted, again... Great intentions. There's something called the alternative minimum tax, the AMT. Mm-hmm. In 1960s or whatever it is, when it was passed, this is again, political thing. There were 155 people in the United States, rich, filthy rich, filthy rich people in the United States mm-hmm. who didn't pay any income tax in mm-hmm. 1960, whenever it was, 65, 66, 67. I mean, these people were making millions of dollars and they had write-offs and other things that made sure that they didn't pay any taxes, or they were coupon clippers. You know, they had, for instance, they'd taken all their money and put it into municipal bonds, which are tax-free, essentially. And so every month or two, they'd go in and clip the little coupons off the mini bonds. You didn't have to declare it. and you know, you were living on $1 million, $2 million. If you had, you know, $20 million, $30 million worth of these coupon bonds, you were clipping $1 million or $2 million a year and living on it, not paying a dime. You, of course, you paid, you had paid a penalty up front for buying muni bonds as opposed to regular bonds because the interest rates were lower, but that was your choice. So anyway, 155 people or thereabouts that didn't pay any income tax. Hoorah! Oh my God. Congress got up and they said, okay, look, we can't let these people off the hook. What we're going to do is we're going to pass something called the alternative minimum tax. And that is, even if you do all our rules and you do cross all the T's and dot all the I's and everything like that, and you can end up with no tax, sorry, you pay 20%. Boom. End of story. Now you get to take away all the exemptions. I mean, you add back in everything, and we're going to tax you 20% because you're a rich person and you're one of these 155 people. Well, unfortunately, it wasn't indexed. That is to say, it turns out that what was a rich person in 1967 is a poor person today, is a regular old Joe Schlupp.
Right.
And it turns out that there are millions of people now that are just untold millions, and this year especially, something like 15 or 20 million people are falling into this alternate minimum tax trap. That means that even though they had withholding and even though they had everything, they're going to have to go through, instead of just getting a refund, they're going to have to go through and file a new tax return and refigure the whole shoot and match on this thing. Since Congress hasn't bothered to do a tax bill this year, they're not even going to get around to it. They might not get around to it until next year. That is to say, they might not have a tax law for 2007 taxes until sometime in 2008. How do you file your tax return if you don't have a clue? And the way they've done it is that just because you don't...
I don't know, but you better get it right.
Well, yeah. That's the point. You can't... and not getting it right because they haven't done a law is no excuse.
No, I know.
You're still guilty. So the point is that there are a lot of people that normally, because they have their normal withholding, they go into H&R Block, they hand in their W-2s or whatever the hell it is, and, you know, in 10 minutes, they're out of there, they file the electronic refund, and they figured that the money's... And, of course, it comes right back in a week or so. So they budgeted their vacation starting, you know, January 15th or January 22nd or whatever the hell it is. Well, turns out, surprise, surprise, ain't going to happen this year for literally tens... I mean, well,
it's,
millions.
Yeah,
millions.
Yeah, no, it's something like 23 million folks will get hit with the wealth tax, about 19 million of them for the first time.
Yeah, so, yeah, 19 million
people
for the first time. So this is... My point is that the fare tax, more or less aptly, would eliminate all of that. You would already be paid up. It'd be no problem. So the thing is, obviously, somebody has a vested interest in this 7 million words of convoluted, we don't know what's going to happen, especially this year, 19 million people totally out, have no clue what's going on, and this is a fairly substantial portion of the people that actually pay taxes, on and on and on. And that's the system that the fare tax wants to get rid of. Isn't it worth something? And when you realize that in spite of what some people say, they say, well, your taxes are going to go up. No, they won't. I mean, the simple fact is that you will actually, what the fare tax does, it corrals a bunch of money that is currently not paid. Yes, the taxes will go up on illegal drug dealers. It will go up on illegal aliens because those people will now, who are not paying any tax, every time you go in and you buy something, they're going to pay a tax.
Right.
It's that simple. And so it is revenue neutral. And the fact that some people talk about whether it's 23 or 30%, there's a real basic flaw here. And that is, if you say, for instance, let's say you have something, you have 100 of something, and you say, I want to have a 50% reduction in my 100. Okay, it goes down to 50. But if you have a 50% increase on 50, it only goes to 75. It's a 100% increase from 50 to 100.
Right.
It's a 50% decrease from 100 to 50. And that's when people talk about this, whether it's 23 or 30%. You got to ask yourself what side. It's the same number depending on what side of the coin you're on.
Right.
And so, but basically what happens is, even given that, people don't realize it. When you go buy something today at the store and you pay $100 for it, there's $25 in taxes already in there that's been paid by every manufacturer, the wholesalers, then the other people. In other words, if without those taxes, the price would have been $75,
mm-hmm.
not $100. So now you're going to pay a tax on the $75 that's going to bring it up to $100. No harm, no foul. It's the same price. It's just how it's collected. And it turns out that there's going to be 22,000 people in the IRS that are going to be out the streets looking for a job. I don't have a problem with that. There's probably going to be 10,000 people on K Street in Washington looking for a job. I don't have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. Those are the people that are worth, you know, they're in $5,000 suits and $2,000 shoes. They can go find another job.
Mm-hmm.
The K Street lobbyists that are now trying to, you know, rig the system every day. They're going to have to go home. So retire, you know, take your money, go on your yacht. Goodbye. Don't have a problem with that. So when all is said and done, it seems to be, it's, to me, it's, it makes life a lot simpler, which is worth something.
Mm-hmm.
When you realize that today, for instance, the, where their lost productivity there, somebody figured it out, and I actually did the math. It turns out that if you take the entire town of Gainesville, or this county here, you take a couple hundred thousand people, and they do nothing for their entire life but fill out tax returns, tax forms. That's their total thing. They do nothing else but that. That is how much time is being spent, 200,000 lives being wasted every year.
Mm-hmm.
Wasted. You might as well just, not, those people don't exist. They do nothing but fill out forms. That's that amount of time that is being used by the normal people to fill out. In other words, if 20 million people take an hour, you know, do the math,
mm-hmm.
okay? And it's the same as 200,000 people who might as well not be here on this planet. Their lives are worthless because they do nothing, 8 hours a day, 7 days, 5 days a week, filling out tax returns. And that money, that those people will now be productive. You will actually have essentially what amounts to 200,000 people that can actually go out and get a real live job now.
Right.
And I mean, that's worth something.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all in all, and it's not going to happen because, unfortunately, the entrenched interests will have a way of probably of stymieing this thing, even though it certainly makes sense on a lot of levels. Now, the question you have to ask is, will somebody get hurt? Yeah. Yes. You can't have any shift, but there's people being hurt every day. I mean, certainly if you've got 2,200 IRS agents that are allowed to carry a gun, somebody's going to get hurt. And so you have to weigh, it seems to me, pluses and minuses on this thing, and certainly simplest is best. I disagree with H.L. Mencken on this, where he says to every complex problem, there's a simple solution and it's usually wrong, or it's always wrong. In this particular case, no. It is not the best solution by a long shot, because the government still gets a lot of money and they'll do crazy things with it. But it's certainly that it frees up, a billion hours of whatever it is of time, that it makes everything simpler, that it corrals a lot of people that will now have skin in the game, that didn't have skin in the game before, that they were getting away with it, that kind of thing. I don't have a problem with a lot of money that is currently sitting overseas gets to come back tax free. Whereas,
did you ask about the flat tax?
We asked about Huckabee.
Okay.
Oh, it was actually what it will cover some of the stuff about the presidential debate, so it's fine.
Okay. Yeah, presidential debates. Okay, so I'm done.
EE went and listened to the debates, as I've been promising to do, and has written down some of the questions here that were from the last debate, I believe, right?
Right.
Okay, now I have not seen these questions because I didn't watch the debate.
Right.
So we're doing this cold turkey.
Well, yeah, and there's going to be some, I'm going to edit out some pauses, I'm sure, because I'm going to have to, like, I had to scribble down notes because I didn't have my little laptop on the sofa there. But I'll, basically, first of all, one thing about the debates, first of all, if you don't eat or you're hungry before you watch the debates, you don't have a problem because they do so much waffling and put IHOP out of business.
I see.
I mean, literally.
Just bring a syrup.
Just bring some syrup and you will be fed for 2.5 hours.
Okay.
No question about it. And it is just, again, I actually went to up to the state college here for a while at the Capitol, and where they breed politicians.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the polished politicians that are trying to run for president.
Right.
And so
They've
done this before, and they have these certain standard answers that they're going to try to steer their ship into. As soon as you start to ask certain things, they're going to shift the tide, if
just
you will.
Just like Jimmy did now.
Just like Jimmy did now.
We started on something and Jimmy went into the flat tax. Hello.
And they did
I know how to do this.
They did such a great job of that. It was amazing. It reminds me of all the hypnotists where it was the patterns of persuasion. Anyway.
Well, this reminds me, one of the things that politicians, I guess, where they got some of their training, was one of the best columns I ever read by Dave Barry, a humorist mm-hmm. down in Miami, was how to write a term paper without saying anything. And he wrote, like, you know, a page.
Right.
And it literally
didn't say
nothing,
one thing.
Zero.
Right.
So they
right.
go ahead.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they did. That's exactly what they did.
So funny.
And the debate that I did watch, just in case anybody else saw it, it was the one where they actually took the questions from people on YouTube.
Okay.
So people filmed themselves.
Now, was this Democrat or Republican?
Republican.
Okay, Republican.
Republican.
Okay.
And,
shows you how much I know.
Well, so the first thing they started off with is they were asking about, the first guy came on there, he kind of pours it to Giuliani. He was asking about, you know, what's the deal about aiding and abetting, you know, illegal aliens, and you seem to be for amnesty for this. And he says, would you guys veto any amnesty bill? And they all had, you know, waffly little answers except for Ron Paul.
Jimmy, how would you answer that question, though, about would you veto an amnesty bill?
Okay, well, of course, what is the definition of amnesty, first of all?
Basically, it's allowing the 12 million to stay here without, basically, they can go down and register and become citizens,
you define
I guess.
It.
Yeah. Amnesty. Boy, in other words, the fact that you're here, do you suddenly get to stay here? Jimmy doesn't really have a firm answer on that. I would say I probably would veto I would not veto an amnesty bill. That is one of the things that you do see here is this problem is so huge that the easy answer of let's build a border, kick them out, and then let's start all over is not ever going to work. It would be all right if you had 100 people here, but you got somewhere between 8 and 20 million, depending on whatever number you happen to pick. Mm-hmm. The thing that people don't realize is that the regular entry program into this United States, one of the reasons we got the 12 million is because the regular program is totally broken. It takes 5 years and thousands of dollars to do it legally. I mean, what kind of, this is not exactly, we're not exactly
plus
welcoming
the
these people.
Plus the ombudsman to help you get through it.
Huh?
Plus the ombudsman to help you get through it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, it costs you $100 to make an appointment to have somebody say no.
Give us, you're tired, you're rich.
Even the rich. I mean, the whole point is that it's not exactly like this country. Here's the deal. It's not exactly like we're suffering. It's not exactly like we got a 20% unemployment rate here because of all the illegals floating around on the street corner, number one. Number two, the unemployment rate at historic lows in this country, in spite of the fact that we've got anywhere from 8 to 20 million, depending on whatever number it is, tells you something about the work ethic and the way the work applies in this country. The only problem that I have, and it has to do with socialism, and that is, why are we giving away, forget the illegals, why are we giving away free services to anybody? Hospitalization and social security and social welfare systems, for instance, people are saying, well, they're coming in and taking advantage of our hospitals. Well, yeah, I mean, if you put it out there, of course they are. I don't understand why we're doing it for our own people. I'm saying I don't want us fund the neighbor next door if they're going to the hospital. That's their problem, legal or illegal.
So it sounds like what you're saying is you would not veto an amnesty bill, but you'd want a provision in there that said that they waive their social benefits.
Oh, for sure. Guaranteed. Waive your social benefits. And I would also disband the current immigration policies. I would say, if you want to, basically, it's the way, when I went down to Honduras, I could go in there for 90 days. I mean, I showed up on the doorstep. And the guy looked at me real smiley. Guy spoke English, of course. He's an airport guy. Would you like, normally you get 30 days just for walking across the border. He says, we want 30. I'll give you 90. Stamp, done, 90 days. End of story. I mean, it was just, but if he wanted to come to the United States on that basis, not a chance. He has to go over to the consulate or the embassy.
The Ministry of Information.
No, that's right. Exactly right. Exactly. And I mean, he has to pay money, all kinds of money and everything else to get it just to come visit, for God's sakes. I tell you the truth. I don't know. I know that we do have, when I go down here to Disney, you see, you know, carloads, busloads of people, busloads of people from other countries. And I don't know how they're getting in here, but I mean, I'm guessing it's on a 1 week visa or something like that, or somehow
probably part of the Disney corruption.
I wouldn't doubt for a second that it's a special Disney visa,
right?
You know, that they come in on and it's, you know, and they have to stay like on the bus the whole time.
Right.
Or the park. Yes, that's right. The bottom line is that system is broken, mm-hmm. that created, as always is the case, unintended consequences.
Well, and again, we have shows, and if you go back to the archives, we could talk about our revolving door Taco Bell solution with paintballs.
We had that. I would have, you know, 150 Ellis Islands sitting across the border. No problem. Someone today.
We did the calculations, like 2,300 miles of Greyhound buses something, which they don't exist to even bus the people back right now. So, how about this? One person was really concerned about the national debt, which is now cranking up to about $1 million a minute now, I believe.
$9 trillion.
Right, $9 trillion. And what are you going to do to control? They're worried about their kids or something.
And they should be.
Right.
And we just solved that in the last question. No more Social Security, Medicaid, welfare.
Yeah, pretty much. The thing is
how would do it?
Which brings us to the next question. What are the three federal programs you would reduce if you were elected president?
Oh, boy. Okay, first of all, you'd eliminate the Department of Agriculture, totally.
Mm-hmm.
You'd eliminate the Department of Education, totally.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one, Those two would go along
IRS.
With
man,
I would well, do, the IRS, of course, that you have to do the flat tax for right. sure.
I'd do Social Security Administration.
Social Security. Well, of course, you'd have to have, again, you can't just eliminate. When you talk about the top three, the Agriculture Department and the Education Department are the two that would really make a tremendous, phenomenal difference.
Well, what education? They don't spend more than 5% at the federal level or something of the federal money.
Okay, then the other one, yeah, but they create so many problems. I mean, there's no child left behind.
They're just getting geared up.
One of the problems that you have with them is it's not so much the money that they spend, it's the trouble they cause. And the paperwork, it's like the IRS, for instance. You know, there's a billion hours filling out forms when all you want to do is pay your taxes, for God's sakes. You know, it's the trouble that they cause with the regulations. It's not so much the money that they spend. So those are the
what about
two.
About Homeland Security?
Homeland Security, yeah, TSA gone.
Gone.
History, yeah, no question. And I thought it was interesting.
I think there's like 103 kind of big government programs that are like eating up lots of the money. But anyway.
There's like three that eat up about 40%. I mean, if you
well,
could
the healthcare.
Right.
That's right. That's
healthcare,
the other one. No, yeah, that's right.
Social Security. And I mean, just those two, and you'd be in great shape.
Well, not only that, let me tell you, the problem is, you think it's bad now. I was reading an article by Hans Senholz from the Freeman, an archive from the Freeman, and they were talking, bemoaning in 1995 that we had we were approaching $5 trillion deficit. Now remember now, deficit is different from the debt. I'm sorry, $5 trillion debt. The deficit is annual, debt is forever. And so the point is that in 1995, we were approaching $5 trillion, and they were saying, oh, woe is us. Here it is, 12 years later, we're approaching almost double that, $9 trillion, and there will be hell to pay. It's $30,000 for every man, woman, child, infant, whatever, everything above an embryo owes $30,000 is $30,000 in debt in the United States starting out, number one. So if you think you're not doing this for your grandchildren and great-grandchildren, you're out of your mind. I mean, that's the sinful part, is these guys are spending money that they don't have. They're writing checks, as, you know, in the Tom Cruise thing, that they don't have the money to spend or whatever it is. You know, you're writing checks that you're not going to be able to cover.
You're right.
And so you're right. The big problem, of course, with Medicare and Social Security is not so much what they spend today, mm-hmm. but what they have promised to spend tomorrow. And if you think $9 trillion debt is bad number, you wait till it gets $27
trillion. Right.
Because they can't, it's just not there. They have to go bankrupt.
Right. I mean, again, at least I got McCain's was basically veto any bill that has pork in it.
Yeah.
Giuliani was like, you know, have cuts across the board. McCain said one thing, he was like, well, we have, you know, we all got to Washington and Washington changed us and we've got to rethink the way we do Washington. And then Ron Paul goes, Washington hadn't changed me. And that got big cheers.
And he's the only one, though.
Yeah,
I will tell you from personal history.
He didn't waffle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will tell you from personal history. I've been friends, former friends, mm-hmm. with real live politicians. I'm mm-hmm. old enough to have actually helped them, mm-hmm. given them money and voted for them mm-hmm. and watched them morph into
right.
the devil.
Right.
And I think that's normal.
Mm-hmm. There was, Ron Paul also had another great quote. He goes, Huckabee wanted to revamp home security, and he's all about the fair taxes we just talked about. And then there was one comment, he goes, well, more people are afraid of an audit than a mugging.
That's true.
Yeah. That's true.
No, that's absolutely true.
Absolutely.
You only lose what you got on you in the money.
Yeah, right.
Right, exactly.
I mean, you could not. I mean, let me tell you, it's not bad. It's bad enough. Right. Like you say, you can lose what got on you. What the IRS does is they can take you, like, for whatever you're going to get.
Right.
For the next 10 years.
Not only what you got on you, not only what you got back at home.
Yeah, but everything in the
make.
Future. Right. Talk about indentured servitude.
Well, it was McCain said he does not support the fair tax, says he can fix the tax code.
Yeah, right. Well, they tried. Let me tell you what's interesting, because I saw a fairly prominent person came out recently and said the way to fix it is to have just a two-tiered system. We tried this in 1986, and it worked. And, in fact, it's true. In 1986, we had, when Reagan got his thing through, they eliminated a whole lot of deductions and everything. There was other things that happened that went wrong in that particular case as well. But it was 15% and 28%. That was it. Two levels, and I forget where the cutoff was. You know, you had to make over a certain amount of money. It was 28%. Under it, it was 15, and it was in between. So there were two levels. That
two
was
tiers.
It. Two, yeah. Okay. That lasted about a minute. And they went in, and it has gotten into what it's gotten into today. If you think that a two-tiered system or one-tiered system or whatever you fix is going to last more than the next morning, you're out of your mind.
So let's see. Some more things that were interesting. They ended up kind of getting into the Iraq war a little bit. And, of course, Ron Paul is about, you know, getting our troops home as fast as possible and trying to start up trade. And he made some analogies to Vietnam and how we trade with them all the time right now. And
right.
Not any matter of fact, it started up pretty quickly after the war when we started getting back in there. And then, of course, McCain goes, well, you know, he's just completely and totally adamant about this. That's how we allowed Hitler to come to power. And I'm like, you know, okay, listen, you know, you got smart German people. You got Wernher von Braun, his scientist crew. Okay, I could understand maybe about being worried about Hitler, but he's a bunch of over there, okay? Not too worried about them. I mean, realistic. Third world country, people.
Yeah,
not
right.
a first world country.
Right.
That was on top of the game, you
right,
know? Okay?
Right.
So, you know what? Little different playing field here, folks, in my opinion. That's my opinion. And then Ron Paul says he gets more money from actually from active duty servicemen than anybody on his roster.
Huh.
So, you know, and because McCain's over there and he was going, you know, everybody's telling me, you know, let us win. Let us win. I'm going, what are they going to do? Come to say, get me out of here?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you're a traitor. That's treason, you know? Yeah. I mean, of course you're not going to come up to you.
Even if you're not in the military and you say that,
you're a traitor. You're a traitor or treason. You know, they give me a break, John. Of course, what do you think they're going to say to you? You know, Mr. Hero up there. They want to.
Well, it's the old story about the lady in New York who couldn't understand why Bush won because none of her friends had voted for George Bush.
Okay, there was another question. Would any of you out there veto any tax increase? Okay, and they all said they would.
Okay, well, that's a pack of lies, too.
Yeah.
You only have to remember back when George Bush first got elected
right.
on Watch My Lips.
Right.
Okay, and then caved.
Well, and then the funny part was Fred Thompson came right out there with a video. They all made their little videos up about their own promotional videos.
Right.
And he nailed two of them in lies right there. They were going to go to commercial break, and they're going, well, I don't think so, not after that video. They went and rolled right into the Bustin' Huckabee, and it was Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
On Mitt Romney was the abortion, and Huckabee was the taxes.
He
goes, would you raise taxes? Well, I think this is okay to this tax, and I think this is okay. And then one of the other guys was like, well, we could have a national emergency. We need to raise taxes. And
right.
I was like, you know, well, yeah. whatever. Again, I think we just answered the farm subsidies. Would you eliminate farm subsidies?
Totally. They got to go.
Giuliani's four subsidies.
Oh, my God. It's just unbelievable. You just can't imagine the damage that it's done. It is mind-boggling to me. I think we've talked about the two things that come to mind.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Gaylord Nelson from Wisconsin basically regulates the price of milk nationwide. And I don't understand. And sugar. And no, seriously, because the price of milk is convoluted by some 3,000 rules and regulations, depending on how far you are from Madison or wherever the hell it is in
right.
Wisconsin. Same thing with sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Sugar is because we have a tariff and there's 13 people or however many, the Fallujah family or whatever it is down here and whatever call that they make tons.
Oh,
of,
yeah. No, right.
Yeah. And they make all the money. And I don't understand why to benefit a couple of milk farmers in Wisconsin and some sugar Spaniards down here, or Latinos in Florida, why 280 million people have to pay extra for all that stuff. I mean, it is mind-boggling to me. When you talk about, we were talking earlier about fairness, what's fair about making 300 million people or whatever the current population is pay an extra dime, nickel, 10 cents, whatever it is, a pound for sugar, and an extra half a dollar, 50 cents, or 49 cents for milk, you know, a gallon of milk or whatever the heck it is. I mean, it's mind-boggling. And it makes no sense at all. It is totally unfair.
Right. Well, they're, again, Giuliani's thing was, we got to support our food because we can't afford to import. Yeah, we can't rely on other people to import. Well, of course, he lives in New York City. Every single thing he has is imported
right.
from somewhere.
Right.
I mean, probably most of it isn't even American food
right.
in New York.
You know, right. In New York.
In New York, it's probably not.
Yeah, I mean, you could see what would happen if they cut off in New York. Can you imagine cutting off any mention of Caribbean or Chinese or Japanese or, you know, European markets
mm-hmm.
from New York? They would burn the place down.
Right. So anyway, that was, and it was Mitt Romney was also totally for subsidies. Of course,
oh
he's from
God.
Iowa or whatever, you know,
oh
he's been paid off.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was just one of the things we got to support our farmers, you know,
we are supporting,
I know,
I'm buying their food for God's sake.
I know, but it's just one of those things. Just like you said, Tan Crando, I think that's his name. He had this one thing. He goes, we need to start assimilating people. I was just like,
he's the Borg.
Yeah,
I mean, that is an exact quote. I mean, you know, you
he's
will be
the
assimilated.
Borg. I love
he
it.
Is the Borg.
Resistance is futile. Oh my God,
no,
I love it.
We need to start assimilating people.
Well, then one of the biggest misnomers I think ever in the United States was this thing they call the melting pot. And it's a pack of lies. We're more like a stew, a lumpy old stew here.
Right.
You're not a problem with being a potato or a carrot, a piece of meat in the stew.
Right.
This melting pot, when you take all everything and make it all one homogeneous, you know, bland yuck, who cares what it is? That's crap.
Well, it's the end result of Lathe of Heaven.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. Lathe of Heaven, which, of course, nobody can watch because I have
the only copy.
And it's not leaving this house.
The only legitimate copy of Cool Edit Pro is owned by Peter Quisgard.
That's right.
Okay, this other person was very concerned about the safety of toy issue. In other words,
the market will figure it out.
Right. Okay. And then,
that's the 96.
Well, I think a lot of the politicians did these big grandstand things. And this Christmas, buy America.
Yeah. Like no American toy has ever hurt anybody.
Go to the store and try to find one that's made in America.
Number one. And number two, make sure that it follows all parts not suitable for children between the ages of, one and 100.
Right.
Or whatever. I mean, it's mind-boggling, and I wouldn't even, that doesn't even bear a response. It's so stupid.
They had one guy out of the desert with his guns blasting some rounds off, and he goes, "What's your opinion of gun control?" And he goes, "You can answer any way you choose."
Cool. Well, I've always said, my thing on gun control is I'm all for it. You first,
right. Giuliani, he's a big time, enforcer of our quote unquote current gun laws. He goes, he was touting the fact that in New York he made all these strict gun laws, and he's saying that all the crime went down and all this stuff. And he goes, well, different states can have different gun laws. Like Kentucky might not be as strict as New York and whatever. I'm like, yeah, right. I mean,
how about none?
Yeah, how about none? And
we're already, as somebody was pointing out, we're already disarmed in this country. I mean, the simple fact is, if I had Stinger missiles, for God's sakes, on here, I'm still going to get beat down by the government. They can nuke me.
Well, and exactly.
I mean, the arms race is
over between us and the government.
No, it's done. Right, I mean, we're talking about, this is what we're talking about, is the disparity of power. The simple fact is, no matter how many machine guns, no matter how many people are holed up here, I can't hold a candle to those guys.
Right.
So don't worry about it.
Right. Don't worry about what we do.
And of course, that's the whole reason to have guns.
Right.
My neighbor, no, I'm worried about the government, but they're going to come anyway now. They got all the guns.
Right. Another guy right after that asked him, he goes, which candidates own guns, and does anyone require a tax stamp? Which means that, was it a fully automatic or silencer? And Thompson came out and he goes, I'm not telling you what guns I own. I'm not telling you where they are. The only one that didn't own a gun, it appears, was McCain, believe it or not.
Idiot.
What? Yeah. He goes, I've used guns. I know how to use a gun. I've carried a gun. I was, in my airplane and blah, blah, blah. But no, I don't own a gun right now.
I mean, here's a guy who
shot. And then half of them, and then come up some of them. Yeah, I know.
Here's a guy who unleashed untold numbers of 50 caliber rounds.
Then all of them combined.
No wonder. He used up his gun totem.
His quota.
His quota before he went to jail for Hanaway Hilton for 8 years or whatever it was. Yeah. I mean, he's had more fun shooting guns than probably 99.999% of the Americans.
Right. And
he did have to pay for it.
He did. And there was, again, some of the candidates went off on this big, I've got my guns with my son and we go hunting and it's American tradition and blah, blah, blah. But again, of course, it's about their gun laws. Who knows if they're going to cave or not?
And, of course, that brings up the thing in Washington. The Supreme Court's going to hear that. Supreme Court is going to hear
that.
In Washington, D.C., where Jimmy grew up, back then you could have even cherry bombs, which was kind of cool. But no, they have a thing that it's illegal to own, weapons and of any kind. I think there was, and of course, one of the funny parts.
The way they're trying to get away with it is the Second Amendment says no state.
Right. Oh, that's right. It's a technicality.
Right.
And so they're saying, since we're not a state, we're okay.
Right. And I think we're in good shape on this one. I think the new conservative court is going to come down and say, yeah, but no. They get to do what they want to do. They get to own guns.
Huh.
That's what I think. My prediction.
Okay.
We'll see.
Well, I hope so.
And the last question was, how are you going to repair the American image in the Muslim war?
Yeah, well.
How do you repair the American image?
Yeah.
You bring everybody back. You get everybody out of it. You end the war. Mm-hmm. You declare victory. And you come home. And, I mean, And if there's another problem.
And of course, you know what? I don't care what to be honest with you, I don't care what image, quote unquote, that they think as far as our leader is concerned. The image, you know, I have no real control over that.
Right.
Because they, whatever they think of America, they're going to think, whether you're there or not. I mean, there are people in, I suppose, that live in New Zealand that don't like America. Well, so what? Mm-hmm. You know, it's not my job. My job is basically to stay out of other people's lives. Right. And I'll take care of myself. You take care of yourself. And if you don't like it, that's too bad. Now, I understand you might not like it if I'm coming in and shooting up your relatives and everything like that. That might be upsetting.
Well, right. That's all I'm saying.
So, but as far as the image is concerned, I could care less.
Well,
that's it. So the only other things I had was, and we can maybe say this till next time. There's the mortgage defense. Let's see, 96,000 things. No ice skating downtown this year here in Gainesville. They had
Oh, really? Why is that?
Because they couldn't afford it. They said, which is, I think, is interesting. Because it's I think it's something like $77,000. Typically, what's happened is here in Gainesville, of course, it's toasty warm, but we have a winter comes, you know, a week or so in January. And what they've done is starting around the 1st of December, maybe for about 2 months or so, December and January, when it is kind of chilly here, they freeze over someplace downtown. I forget where they hire somebody to come in and do it. And they charge like $10 or something to skate all day at the skating rink, it's a portable skating rink kind of thing. It doesn't pay for itself. There's a deficit of some anywhere from, I don't know, $25,000 to $75,000. Well, this year they said this year's really tight for us, City of Gainesville, and they said we can't do it. Now, on two levels, it's kind of funny. One is that they can't find $77,000 out of a $200 million budget. Of course, it's a joke. It's, you know, they spend that on pencils. I mean, it's a rounding error. But by the same token, they shouldn't be spending any. They shouldn't have done in the first place. And that's what people are complaining about. I mean, here it's become almost an entitlement. Mm-hmm. Then when there were people saying, well, you've done it before. And I say this, I got to give the city credit for at least on this one instance. And it was something they could identify because typically everything's hidden in the budget so that you don't even know what the money's being spent on. That's how they got to $200 million. But the deal is at least this time they told the whiners that even after 3 years or 2 years that they've been doing this, they said, nope, sorry, we don't got the money for it. And I got to say, typically, I have found that after 2 years, something does become not a gift or anything or benefit, but an absolute entitlement.
Right. I'm surprised.
And so I'm surprised. But and of course, they're hanging their hat on that the budget is so tight this year that we can't even find $77,000. And I said, well, yeah.
Kill the education system.
Well, I mean, they could have. Let me tell you. But again, they shouldn't have done it in the first place, and they're not doing it again.
That's one person's salary.
Yeah. No, that's right. That's exactly.
Did you see, speaking of raising money for places, did you see that New Mexico was in a big uproar, or the people, I guess, were about the alien-themed tourism ads?
Oh, I thought it was great.
Yeah, I thought it was awesome.
No, that was great. I mean, we talked about that back and forth on emails. I mean, the problem that they had was that they had the damn aliens looking like those things that were coming out of Sigourney Weaver's trying to eat her up.
Right,
I mean,
right.
Look, if you're going to have aliens...
Make it E.T. or something.
Yeah, it's cuddly, soft, or whatever it is. But, I mean, if for those of you who haven't seen them, they're
New
on
Mexico
YouTube.
New Mexico does have at least two kinds of aliens.
Well, they wanted three.
Oh, they want...
Well, they want tourist invasion.
Right.
And So somebody came up with the new motto for New Mexico was the invasion starts here.
Right. That was you, Jimmy.
Okay. Well, at any rate, but I mean, you know, that's so good on so many levels.
I liked having if you wanted to show off New Mexico's current assets, I would say what you'd do is you'd have the image of the nuclear bomb wiping out some Pueblos and some Navajos and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then you'd say, New Mexico, get here before it's too late.
Okay, that's good.
And then you're showing the culture. You know, you got the Indians and the whole bit, and you got the nuclear, the new modern stuff. And
I mean, you know, what's funny about this is that there were complaints from people that said this doesn't show, you know, because as you know, the Roswell, where the 1947 thing, you know, all that business, that's they've made their a lot of people go there. If you can't go within 100 miles of Roswell without finding a tourist place that looks like a crashed saucer.
Right.
I mean, you know,
the little alien.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. No, exactly. I mean, that's it. So they make a lot of money off of this. And so this is the tourist agency came up with this idea, and people were poo pooing it. Some people were poo pooing and say this is not the image that we want to put out there for tourists. And I'm thinking, guess what? It's already there.
Yeah.
Newsflash.
You're not putting it out.
Yeah, you're not putting it out.
You're taking advantage of it.
As I say, but typical of a government agency, they screwed up on the it was an office scene where they're talking back and forth. The aliens are talking back and forth to each other. You know, they're dressed in suits and ties and everything. But I mean, they're ugly. You know, you got them. If you're going to have aliens, you made them look good or something. I mean, I don't know. You don't make them look like those things that are going to eat you.
You do like that one on Star Trek, the girl with the three tits. Is that?
That was Arnold's movie.
Battle Beyond the Stars.
No, that was Total Recall.
Total Recall. Okay. That's what you do for sure. You talk about alien. Whoa, now you know people would be driving across the border, New Mexico. You know that they would be there. Get a few of those in there. I'm telling you, get some.
Well, T'Pol's an alien.
And I rest our case. And so was Jerry, what's her face? The Borg girl.
The Borg chick, number 6 of 9 or something?
Yeah, right. Jerry, her name is Jerry six something. Right. I mean, you know, and of course they always walked around in these super painted.
Airbrushed, airbrushed.
Oh my
outfits,
God.
Yeah.
Now you want an alien. You want to come to New Mexico. That's what you do in New Mexico.
Come see the aliens in New Mexico.
That's it. You talk about an invasion. Woo!
There'd be an invasion.
That's right. So, anyway.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. It was a great show.
Woohoo!
Well, we didn't get to talk about the mortgage defaults, and everybody's going down the toilet on that. Government's going to fix that. They're going to hold back the tide on that one. Oh, good luck. We'll talk about it next time, maybe. That's good. Well, anyway, thank you all for listening. I got a phone call.
Somebody, I bet it was Jack Rhodes.
I wouldn't doubt it was Jack Rhodes.
He said he was going to call in.
I'll send it over to you.
Did you see the guy who was trying to fight to keep his anti-Osama plates?
Yes!
Get Osama on his license plate.
Boy, his whole car was painted
up. Yeah, his whole car. Kill Bin Laden.
They apparently said
they issued his plates and then they want him back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They said it might offend somebody. I'm thinking, who?
Yeah, it's like, what, all the Osama Bin Ladens in the world or something?
Or no, all the lovers of Osama.
Right.
So, if you're offended by this plate, see me.
And I'll meet you at the local collection agency where I can get my $25 million.
That's it.
Right.
Yeah, I can't believe it. You know, these stupid people. Oh, my God. I love it. I love it. It's too much fun living in Florida. Okay. See you next time.
See you next time, guys.
Hey, it's Jack Rhodes calling to say you're listening to the Jimmy Doan Show and the Jack Rhodes Show.
Make your workout fly by listening to the Jimmy Doan Show.
Woof, there he is.